Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Give honor to God who is first in my life. I am to the Spirit of God that abides in this early Sunday morning service. I bring you greetings from Generation Baptist Church, Generation GENELATION. Generation means that we have a start to finish ministry given by God, exposing the Alpha and Omega. The way we do that is that I believe the Lord has sent us to the kingdom for such a time as this to minister to generations, past, present, and future. The way we do it for the past, we sing anthems and spiritual songs on a continual basis to never forget the songs that brought our forefathers and mothers over. How we service the present, I appoint junior deacons and junior ushers and junior trustees, and I train them in the fear of the Lord and treat them like the church of today and tomorrow, because I believe that when I'm gone, the church is supposed to keep on rolling on the way we do it for the future. From time to time, we sing praise and worship without a stick of music, though I have one of the baddest musicians in the whole wide world, because I never want my church to get caught up with the method and miss the message. Blah, talk radio. Y'all ready to have church? For those of you that bought your Bible, it is the only weapon we have that will put the devil, somebody say, in his place. It is the only weapon we have that will give you and I the right to eternal and everlasting, somebody say, life. It is the only weapon we have that the thieves can't steal and the robbers can't take and the police can't arrest, and I don't care where you live. Look at somebody and tell them from me early this morning, it is the word of God. I want to turn your attention to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 22, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 20. 1 Samuel, chapter number 22 and 20. If you're with me, say amen. If you need more time, somebody say mercy. Mercy is a good thing. And the word of the Lord reads as thus: And one of the sons of Amalek, and Amalek escaped and fled after David. And Abathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priest. And David said unto Abathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me, and fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. That's enough. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say amen. The text says, out of 85 priests who were murdered and slaughtered by Saul, the text says he was the only one to escape. Everybody dead but him. The line of priests that serviced the house of Saul, they're all gone. The priests for the household of Israel and the people of God wiped out, all except Abathar. And the text says, and though everybody else was dead, this man escaped. And that's what I want to talk to you about for just a little while this morning and use for a subject. If you will, please look at somebody early this morning again and tell them, for me, there is a way of escape. There is a way of escape. Do I have a praying church this morning? My dear brothers and my sisters, as we begin to embark upon the dissection of this text called A Way of Escape, I'm convinced today without a doubt and yet reminded of a word from God that declares that God will not allow you and I to be tested beyond that which we are able. But in the test, God will give you an escape, not necessarily a way out, but more so a way to survive. And so the word of God instructs us this morning, that God will give us a way to survive and all the ways to benefit us for our survival according to his purpose. God will allow us to survive, and God will give us a way to escape in order that we will overcome, cope, and make it over. Well, the biblical transliteration of the word escape, excuse me, let me say that one more time. Well, the biblical transliteration of the word escape, it means a way to survive. I am surviving and I'm going through, but I will overcome. And I am struggling, but I am coping. I am wrestling, but I'm still here. Look at somebody and tell them, for me, I'm still here. For God will not allow us to be tested beyond that which we are able, but in the test, He will give us a survival mode, a way to make it and overcome. Somebody say glory. And my brothers and sisters, as I begin to think about this en route to this text, I need y'all to pray for me this morning. The Lord dropped some truths on me that I need to drop on you, that you can glean on what I've already said. And the first thing I found out is ultimately that in the midst of whatever we go through, that God will allow us to struggle. That's number one. Somebody say struggle. God will let you go through. Oh, yes, He will. I'll prove it to you. He has the power at any given time to stop it, to cut it off and say it shouldn't be. But I found out something about the personality of our God, and that is He will allow you and I to struggle. Oh, He will. Yes, He will. I know I'm right about it. And maybe I'm already affirming something in somebody right now, because maybe you're angry with God and uptight with Him because He has allowed you to go through some things. And you have said to yourself, now, how in the world has God allowed this to happen to me? Listen, God will watch you in the midst of what you're going through and say, go for it. You can handle it. You're getting stronger and you're getting better, and something is cultivating in you. I'll say it again, God will allow you and I to struggle. I know I'm right about it because I was talking to Paul the other day. You all know the great missionary Apostle Paul, don't you? And this is what he told me. He told me that he was in the midst of a serious struggle, so much that even as much as he knew about God and had revelation of God, and God had showed him things. I mean, come on, church. In the book of Corinthians, you hear Paul saying, though I speak with the tongues of men and the angels. Paul said, I came to the Lord not one time, not two times, but three. Somebody said three. And I told him, I have a thorn in my flesh, and I could be better if you would just relieve me of the pain of this particular thorn that is in my side. And Paul said, it was the Lord that allowed Satan to buffet me. It was the Lord that allowed me to struggle. It was the Lord that allowed and watched me go through and deal with this perplexity. It was the Lord. Look at somebody and tell them, for me, it was the Lord. I need you to pray for me this morning. Look at somebody again and tell them, it was the Lord. And so in the midst of that, I need you to understand that sometimes you're going to struggle, and it's not that God necessarily intentioned your struggle as much as He has allowed your struggle. And even though He could take you out of the struggle, He won't, because in the midst of your struggle, He has a purpose and a plan for your life. Or else the tongue twister. Y'all gonna pray? Listen to what I'm saying. Understand that I struggle for several reasons. First of all, we struggle for some of the choices and decisions we make. Somebody say decision. Watch this. It's not necessarily that you're being penalized for your choices that much as it is that God will use your choices in order to grow you up and mature you in Him. The whole power of God and what God does in our lives is He has a plan for us, and He's trying to get some of us to the place where we need to be so we can arrive on our survival time at the right time. Listen here. Some of us have a hard head and we got our own mindset, and we even have the nerve to cultivate that with a bad attitude. But God, because of our free choice, will allow you and I to make choices. And in the midst of the choices, because His purpose is in our lives. He will use our choices to help you and I struggle in order to identify in you the purpose that he has already laid out. Oh, I need your prayer this morning. That's why when you go through what you go through, it doesn't kill you, but it does. What it does is reveal the thing that God wanted you to see in you. I believe I'll say that one more time. That's why when you go through what you go through, it doesn't kill you. But what it does is reveal the thing that God wanted you to see in you. Somebody say, preach. I know I'm right about it because think about it. God could have took you out years ago, but instead he used your choice to help you struggle so you could learn how to grow. Somebody said, I'm a better man today. I'm a better woman today than I was years ago because I learned how to struggle, and God didn't take me out of the struggle, but he pushed me through the struggle. And so I understand sometimes I struggle because of my own choices. Somebody said choices again. And we learn from where we are and become that what you can so you can get where you're going. Somebody say number two. I struggle. Number two, because of imposition. Somebody say imposition. Because there's some things that are imposed on me. And the power of struggling and God watching you is that everything that you go through is not just your choices you made, but what you're dealing with has been imposed upon your life. Excuse me. Watch this. All that has to happen is you're going on the way, and you're going with your life, and your environment is stable, and the way it is, and all of a sudden, all something has to do is rise up and impose on you and change the stability of your environment. Oh, I know I'm right about it. As congested as I may be, I know I'm right about it because all I got to do is check the word of God. But the Bible says the disciples was on the lake one day, and out of nowhere a storm came and imposed on their environment. Somebody ought to say amen. Sometimes I struggle not because of my choices. Sometimes I struggle because I was simply minding my own business, and there is something that imposes on me and breaks in on my environment. Oh, I wish I had a prayer in church. Well, you see, some of y'all thought everything was all right until a storm arose. And in the midst of the storm, you said, where in the world did that come from? Stop by to tell somebody early this morning, watch what God does. Because God will watch you struggle, not simply because of your choices, but because some stuff will be imposed upon your life. Look at somebody and tell them, for me, stuff just happened. Yes, it does. Say it like you mean it again. Say, stuff just happened. Minding my own business and out of nowhere I got enemies. Minding my own business and folks start talking about me. Minding my own business, somebody stabbed me in the back. Minding my own business, children start acting crazy. Minding my own business, something comes in on my environment and changes my predicament. I feel like teaching. But thanks be unto God, I've learned to count it all joy. I better try to move this train. So what I found out, that I will struggle and God will watch me struggle. And in the midst of the struggle, sometimes I struggle because of my choices. And sometimes I struggle because of imposition upon me. Sometimes I struggle because I'm attacked. That's number three. Somebody say attack. There is a difference between attack and imposition, because when I talk about imposition, there is something that imposes itself on my environment, which means it don't have to necessarily take me out. All I have to do is change what I'm regularly used to. And so my environment changes, and then it changes my stability until I'm able to adapt to that, what I'm dealing with. But the problem The problem with attack is that there is a premeditated thought of something or somebody that is simply not to impose upon me, but their aim is to persecute me and hurt me. Somebody say amen. Or to take me out, to pursue me, execute. And God will sometimes watch you struggle while you're under attack. Oh, yes, he will. Well, I'm going to try to close this thing in a minute. But I'm not worried because I hear the word of the Lord saying unto us this morning, he said, no weapon. No weapon that is formed against you and I shall be able to prosper. And in the word of the Lord, he said he won't put no more on you and I than we can bear. Oh, y'all going to have to help me close this morning. I told you we struggle, number one, because of choices. Somebody say choices. I told you we struggle, number two, because of imposition. Somebody say imposition. And I told you that we struggle because of attack. Somebody say attack. And God will watch all of us through all of the above. But as I read the piece of the passage that says, and he will give me a way of escape, I found out that God is monitoring everything that's going on in my life. Oh, yes, he is. I don't ever want you to think that God is not watching what is going on. So as you struggle, God is looking at how much you can take, and he knows how much you can take, and he knows how much you can bear, and so God is monitoring and proxying the test, the whole time you're praying, Lord, get me out of this and get me out of that, God is saying, not yet, you're not at your limit yet. I'm pushing you close to the edge. Oh, I feel like preaching right there. I wish to God I could this morning. Somebody said, I didn't know I could take so much. God is teaching me, for the more I go through and the more pressure I go through, I'm learning something about me. The more I go through, I'm learning how to depend and lean on God. For I hear the Lord saying, if I had to let it hit you 5 years ago, you would have never made it. Somebody talk back to me. But since I've been growing you, you're not the same person since you got saved. You can handle more. You can fight the devil more. You can overcome. And the whole time, God is saying, I'm watching you. Somebody say, a way of escape. Oh, good God Almighty, don't you ever let the devil confuse or fool you and make you think God is not on your side, because he is. For God is right by your side, saying just a little bit more. And by the time you get through this, you will be able to say, it was nobody but the Lord that was on my side. And when folks look at you and ask, how did you get through? You'll be able to tell them, it was nobody but the Lord on my side. Yes, I'm going through. I'm under the gun. My back is against the wall. But don't write me off yet. Stick with me just a little bit longer, and what you're going to find out is by and by, God will make a way of escape for me. I found out whatever you're dealing with, it can't last forever, for the Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Well, what the Lord has showed me is a way of escape, and it may not come today. Listen to me very carefully. It may not come tomorrow. It might not even come next week. But I need you to understand early this morning that he promised you a way of escape and that he will make a way out of no way. Let's look at the text in chapter number 22. David was trying to get away from that fella named Saul. And let me remind you that the reason that Saul was mad at David is not because of what David was, but it was because of what he might become. Do you hear me? I need you to understand that there are some folks that don't like you not because of who you are, but they're afraid and anxious and nervous about what you might become. I know I'm right about it. Shake somebody's hand like you're going to shake it off early this morning and tell them, for me, I'm full of potential. I'm full of possibilities. You better look out, because the way I look today is not the way I'm going to look tomorrow. And what I got today is not all I got. But where I'm going now is not where I'm going and going to always be. You ain't seen nothing yet. Somebody say hallelujah for the Lord. has anointed me, and I'm on my way somewhere. And the Bible says that Saul was afraid of his anointing and pursued him to execute him. And I want you to know it wasn't only Saul, but the Bible says that there was a time in Saul's life where the devil came and took him over and the evil spirit overcame him. Oh, you all remember, don't you? One time David played his instrument and soothed that savage Saul. But when he got through, the Bible says that an evil spirit jumped on him and he purposed in his heart to kill David. For you see, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness and wickedness in high places. The next time somebody is on your case, don't go fighting them. I dare you to fall down on your knees and start praying. I dare you to pray and have a little talk with Jesus and tell him all about your problems. You pray. Turn down your plate and then remember you got the power in the name of Jesus. For at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Look at the text. Saul is pursuing David, and he went to the priest for prayer and direction. And I'll stop by to tell you this morning, one of the reasons the devil is trying to keep you and I from coming to church, he doesn't want you to hear God's word. And every time you step in the house of God, he gets mad and nervous and all uptight because you might get delivered. You might get set free. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Look at somebody and tell them, for me, I came to get my blessing this morning. Oh, yeah, I'm going to church. I came to make the devil nervous. I came to get a word and hear what God has to say unto the church. And the Bible said when David went to the priest, and the Bible says the priest gave David a word, and David said, that's all I need. That's how I feel this morning. I just need a word from God. When I get it and I got it, that's all I need to make this journey. Some of y'all been through hell and been through oppression, pursued and talked about and mistreated, and you told God, just let me get to the house of God. If I get to the house of God, there's love and power and joy. And somebody said, in the house, that's all I need. That's where I want to get to. After I fought all week with the devil, I want to get in the house of God. After I struggle all day long, I want to get in the house of God. And the Bible said as soon as David got a word, he went on about his father's business. You see, when you can handle stuff, excuse me, when you can handle stuff, you can get a word and you can deal with the dilemma. You can deal with the problem, you can deal with the face, you can deal with the stuff, and when you can get a word from God, you can hold your head up high and say, to God be the glory for whatever he has planned for my life. That's what I need this morning. I need God's word to come alive in my life. And the Bible says that the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. That's what I need to get me through. The Bible says when Saul heard that David went to the church to talk to the priest, he said, how could you pray for David when David is my enemy? The priest said, David may be your enemy, but he ain't God's enemy. As a matter of fact, David has been anointed. And that's good news for me because you might not like me. You may not like what God is doing in my life, but you may not understand me, but God does. Jeffrey does. God is still in charge, and he's sitting on the throne, sitting high and looking down low. The Bible says, and the Bible says, Saul called his boys and said, now, this house is no longer helpful for me, so kill all the priests. And the bottom line is this. He was mad because the house prayed for David. But God had already made a way of escape for David. Yes, he did. Look at the text. The Bible says, Saul killed 85 priests. But thanks be unto God, there was one priest by the name of Abathar. And Abathar and his priestly garments found a way to escape. And it wasn't because he was so smart. And it wasn't because he was so intelligent. It was because God was watching. And God said, I will make a way and an open door for you. And the Bible says he ran to get to David. And he told David that Saul had killed the house of the priest. And I'm the only one left. Oh, that's how I feel sometimes. I'm the only one. Mm-hmm. Lest I will lift up the name of Jesus. I'm the only one that will praise him. I like he's worthy to be praised. I'm the only one to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. I'm the only preacher that will not sugarcoat the gospel. Or I stopped by to tell you earlier this morning, God told me to tell you there is a way of escape. Maybe that's why I'm here today. Who doesn't know the Lord as your personal Savior, then I introduce to some and present to others, his name is Jesus. He died on the cross of Calvary that you and I may have escape and a way of escape from hell. But hell was not designed for you, heaven was. But if you want to go to hell, the Bible says that it is enlarging itself on a daily basis. All you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead and thou shalt be saved. Excuse me, all you got to do is repeat after me. Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Wash me in your blood. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness and save my soul. And if you admit what you said and said what you meant, God has saved you. Listen, you're going to have to do some work now. You're going to have to find a church that's preaching and practicing the word of God. And remember, there's no perfect church. And there's no perfect pastor, male or female. And if it was, when you arrived, it wouldn't be perfect anymore. All you have to do is just continue to go, Sunday school, praying Bible study, service on Sundays, revivals, be in the house of God, hear the word of God, that your soul may grow thereby. Listen, ain't nothing wrong with you. All you need is a few moments with the preacher. And till next Sunday morning at the same time, may God serve. Bless you. Real.